This is Matt Wells with UN News. Sometimes sparks fly when creativity is mixed with conflict, so explains the official UN ombudsperson, who helps turn friction into productive solutions. When talented and diverse groups function together, they produce rich and creative ideas. Yet the same process can also result in conflict and tension, said John Barkat, who's leaving the post after a decade of service. He maintains that when handled well, discord's a necessary and valuable tool for growth in the UN workplace. Mr. Barkat explained to Liz Scafidi how his offices throughout 8 UN locations use the cloak of confidentiality to seek resolutions.
The ombudsman is a designated neutral that works to help resolve issues involving any staff member in the UN system. If they're facing a conflict, a bureaucratic challenge or administrative problem, it provides an area where people can go in the cloak of confidentiality to seek informal, independent assistance to resolve their conflict or issue.
How long have you been working as the ombudsperson?
This week we'll complete 10 years for the UN.
From what I understand, you're the chief of over how many people in how many duty stations?
We have about 30 people working in 8 locations around the globe, and we essentially operate an ombudsman and mediation program with decentralized offices in different regions.
What drew you to this line of work?
Years ago, when I was in one of my master's programs, I was thinking about the future and was thinking, what is it I would like to be known for at the end of my life? And what resonated with me was the idea of being a peacemaker, of bringing people together who may not be able to do that on their own. And at the time, I looked at exploring mediation. I took training and I became a mediator for the court system in New York. And then I began teaching at a university and began conducting more mediations. And that sort of led me to the idea of dispute resolution as a profession.
So the office that you work in, they must have had some accomplishments that have stood out for you.
Yes, the Ombudsman and Mediation Office is incredibly busy. We handle over 2,500 cases a year, and many mediations as well. And we work with staff throughout the world, both national and international staff. We not only see cases of administrative challenges, we resolve conflicts, but we're based with 3 fundamental pillars that we work on for our strategic plan. One is that we help resolve issues. The second is that we identify the systemic issues causing the problems. And third is we help build skills with staff. So on the systemic issue, what we look is for every case that comes to us, we try to ask ourselves this question. If you take away the people who were involved in a conflict or a problem, what is it in the system that would allow this situation to resurface in the future? Is it a policy that could be improved? Is it a procedure that's not working consistently or as it should? We take a look at those issues and we provide feedback to the organization so that they can improve those things so that the problems don't recur as frequently in the future. Some of the things that we've dealt with under those systemic issues have been things like the Emergency Preparedness Response Team, which we made recommendations on before that was formed, which led to the formation of that group, which supports staff, survivors, and people who, families of survivors who have been in incidents where there's been tragic loss. So for example, the Canal Hotel bombing was something that germinated this idea when I was involved with a response dealing with some of the family members dealing with the aftermath of that.
This is in Iraq?
Yeah, and this is the issue that we then, after meeting with that, made recommendations in our reports, and it created this response team. We've also made recommendations on improvements to the performance management system and other issues in the organization as well.
Which systemic issues would you say were most evident?
There are many that we deal with day to day. There was many issues early on when I began the program, when decisions had to be made between headquarters and the field, and there was a redundancy that was causing too much time for people to receive different clearances, and sometimes they weren't able to get a job because there was a holdup. I remember in one mission, we took a look and there were 70 cases where people had been in limbo for months to perhaps over a year. And we were able to take those 70 cases, identify that there was a problem, help work with colleagues in New York and in the field and resolve that and clear up those cases very quickly.
Can you speak about the UN strategy to tackle sexual harassment?
Sexual harassment is, of course, an issue that's on everybody's mind these days. It affects not only the people who are the victims, it affects people who are accused, and it affects the bystanders, the people who are around the situation. The Secretary General is taking this issue very seriously, and he has been very clear on his feeling that these issues are serious. As we've seen in the UN system, when it involves UN staff members, civilians, the organization takes decisive action, as we've seen with many people recently where there's been accusations, even from the past employment. The challenge is also when it involves peacekeepers, and there have been good efforts undertaken recently to really address those types of issues particularly. So I think there's good movement. My feeling on this issue is that when cases arise on alleged sexual harassment, that every woman, and I say woman because it's often women, though we do have cases where men feel they've been sexually harassed, deserves a voice to be heard in an appropriate forum. And secondly, not every case is the same. And thirdly, everyone deserves due process. If we keep those in mind, then we'll do well moving forward in how we respond to these issues.
And what are your office's main goals in moving forward?
So our office in the past 10 years has done more with helping to identify systemic issues. And the systemic issues that we've talked about really are helping the organization create better policies, procedures, and systems, and structures, and culture. The other thing we're trying to do is help staff throughout the world build skills so they can handle issues themselves without always having to seek support. We talk about is our initiatives to build skills. We call that conflict competence in dealing with differences and conflicts in the system. What we want to do is retain creativity, but help people learn how to manage when the creativity results in disagreement or dispute. So our efforts on prevention are something that we're really trying to focus on moving forward. We've also tried to do more experimenting with different ways to find out what's challenging staff.
So when you talk about conflict competency, will you be offering training classes?
We do. In fact, our team conduct training sessions and workshops and information sessions to build skill in staff to encourage them to become more competent in dealing with conflict. So yes, we do, but we also work with the organization because there's a limit to what one department can do to help guide them on what they can offer as well.
Can you share with us a personal experience that has made your work inspiring?
Our office works with staff in main duty stations, headquarters, economic commissions, and we also deal with people in the field. And I think what has been most meaningful to me is working with people and staff who sometimes feel that they're not heard by the organization and their situation doesn't matter to other people the way it matters to them. And to see where we've been able to find a resolution to their issue and to see the appreciation that staff articulate to us over and over again is incredibly meaningful